Welcome to the Penny Z Show, where you get to learn how real people overcame real issues. Get ready to take notes, and most importantly, take action. Here's your host, Penny Z.
Hello, everyone. This is Penny Z with the Penny Z Show. We are here transforming lives one life at a time with topics that are real, relevant, and relatable. We are in a series called Overcoming Your I'm Not Enough Story. All of us have it in our life, whether it was just for a particular moment in time, a season, or for many years, much like myself and some of my guests. Today, I have a very special guest today, David Dendy. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you. Great to be here with Penny Z.
I'm excited to interview you and to have our listeners hear about your story. But before we get into David's story, I'm going to share with you a little bit about his bio. And David is spent 3.5 years, to be exact, as an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church. He has helped over 101 churches raise over $200 million. Now, that's impressive even of itself for capital campaign programs for the churches. He is an author of 14 books, which I did not know that. I know that he is an author of one of the books, which we will share here today. It's called Seeing God at Every Seeing God at Work Every Day, the 40-Day Challenge. So I just want to show that to you. That's very exciting that he is with us today and going to share his experience. David is a graduate with a BA of Davidson College in North Carolina and a graduate from Union Seminary of Virginia in Richmond, Virginia. David, welcome again to the Penny Z Show.
Thank you very much. Thrilled to be here. I think you've got a great topic, and I'm looking forward to exploring it with you.
Absolutely. Now, before we go into that real quick, I don't know everything about you and did not share everything about you in your bio. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners right now before we get into your backstory?
Well, let's see. One thing is that I am adopted. I don't know if that means anything or not, but that's I was adopted at birth by my wonderful parents, Marshall and Judy Dendy, and then my wife Julie and I, we have an adopted daughter ourselves. So it's been kind of fun to have that become full circle for our family. And I am married to Julie, who's a physical therapist, wonderful physical therapist, and we have two children, Faith, who's 14, and Joshua, who is 13, and they are 5 months apart in age.
Wow, I did not know that either.
Yes, we adopted Faith, or we were in the process of adopting Faith after having trying to get pregnant for 3 or 4 years to no avail. And then in the middle of the adoption process, found out that we were pregnant with Joshua. So Faith was born in May of 2005, and then Joshua arrived 5 months later in October.
Well, congratulations. You know, I hear a lot of those kinds of stories. You know, when you're not planning it or working on it or stressing over it is when God blesses you with that wonderful opportunity to get pregnant, have your own children. But both of them are your own children. And yes. Yeah,
I'm sure we'd heard those same stories, but we never thought it would happen to us. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, David, just so you guys, he's being humble. He is also a motivational speaker, a trainer. He has an interesting topic that I hope he shares about laughter and fear as part of our interview today. But right now, what I'd like to do is start with David's backstory on his experience of feeling not good enough in his life.
Okay, that's great. Well, this is certainly, I think, a deep subject, which I think, as you mentioned, touches all of us. And certainly as I've been preparing and thinking about this interview and our exploration of my own not enough story, I certainly have brought up a number of emotions which were deep seated and deep bedded that I thought, oh, wow, how about that? It's kind of rising to the surface. So I'm interested to see what emotions might, if any, will come out of this. But I think I grew up, I think like most people, you know, went to school and had what I believe to be a very good family life, and have one younger sister, and we moved around quite a bit early on, but finally settled in Southern California by the time I was in third grade. And I was very athletic and found sports to be a great entree into developing new relationships or to find acceptance into new situations, because if you can play ball and be very good at it, then people seem to accept you pretty readily. And I found that to be an easy entree into a lot of different groups, whether I went going from elementary school to junior high to high school and even into college. But I think in the area of academics, this is where the not enough story, I think, finds its roots. And that is, I was a very good student, but there always seemed to be one subject, one class, something like that, where, oh, if you didn't get an A, you got a B. And so you bring home the report card, and there it is, six A's and one B. And then what's the question that always follows that? Oh, why'd you get a B? You know, not great job on the six A's, but why'd you get that B? And I certainly do not fault my parents for asking that question. I find myself asking that same question of my own children. But this is, I think, is when it got started that, okay, straight A, I mean, six A's, one B was not enough. And so let's work harder to become more enough. And never did, I think I made straight A's once after that, but that was about it. And so that feeling continued through high school. And what really I found very ironic, looking back much later on in life, was that in high school as a senior, they had those senior superlatives, you know, best this, best that, and most likely to do this and most likely to do that. And for me, I was voted most likely to succeed. And I remember thinking, they must know something I don't, because I'm not sure how that's going to happen. And I really felt like, am I a farce? Is there something inauthentic or false about me that they don't know? Because surely if they knew everything about me, they wouldn't have voted me most likely to succeed. And there's a sense of life after that of, well, when's the shoe going to drop and everyone find out? See, you weren't most likely to succeed. You really weren't enough. And, you know, after high school, got accepted to great school, top 10 liberal arts school in the country, Davidson College in North Carolina. Went on to graduate school, seminary after that. Got a great job as a pastor, associate pastor of a church in Augusta, Georgia. And everything was just kind of up, you know, for me. But then at age 30, 35, I found myself divorced with two children from that previous marriage. So divorced, no job, no wife, no children. And I remember lying on the floor of a friend of mine's apartment in the fetal position, saying, "What happened?" Or maybe I knew exactly what happened. See, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't enough. And yeah, my thoughts all along about not being enough, there you go. I've proved it to be true. See, I'm not enough. And that was a very difficult time in life. I mean, very, very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, David, first I want to say that you probably were going through life and up till that age 35 or so, you might have been thinking perhaps, when is the shoe going to drop? And it wasn't dropping. And then it all of a sudden dropped. Did you have that realization? Was it that clear? Or I was just wondering around that. I've got several questions from what you just shared, but I'm wondering about that.
It became very clear. It felt like a whole shoe closet dropped. Not just one shoe, but a whole shoe. And what's interesting about this?
Were you worried about that before, during your, you know, your college and your 20s, were you still worried about the shoe dropping or people knowing, like you said, when you were voted most likely to succeed?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think it was necessarily some kind of conscious me walking around with eyes darting back and forth. Oh, who's going to find out? It just, just never felt like you were up to par, that you were all that you were, you know, as advertised, so to speak. And I think after the divorce, I went through some major counseling, which was very, very helpful. And I remember my counselor saying, you know, he had a very insightful thought, which I think is very insightful and was at least very pertinent to me. And I don't know about anybody else, but he said, you know, your subconscious will do a real number on you and will undermine your intentions and actions in a way that will prove to everybody that, see, I really am not worthy enough. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you'll engage in some behavior or even destructive behavior that you would never do that normally. But yet there you are, subconscious trying to prove, see, I really am not good enough. Watch, see what I did? After hearing that from him, you know, it made a lot of sense. And as I've watched other, even professional athletes who get in trouble or celebrities, people who have gone from, let's just say, humble beginnings and then get immediately shot into some kind of stardom, they think, I don't deserve this. If they only knew, I'm just this kid from, you know, backwoods, wherever, or maybe an underprivileged situation or something like that. And I'm not good enough for this. And then somehow engage in some behavior, destructive behavior that undermines the whole prosperity of it. And then I think, oh yeah, I know what's happening here. That's what happened to me.
Oh, I think it happens to a lot of us. I have that same story, and you know, I'm not good enough started when I was probably 6 or even younger, if I went back farther than that. But I didn't realize it till several years ago. And so I had been self-sabotaging for so many years. And once I realized it and saw it for what it was, I mean, I'm still not saying that I don't have moments of not feeling good enough, but you're able to manage it so much differently. But it was amazing how my mind, because my subconscious mind was telling myself I wasn't good enough. I hadn't recognized it in the literal sense or the real sense or the real-time sense. And so every time something didn't happen for me, I wasn't pretty enough, I wasn't smart enough, I wasn't tall enough, I didn't get that promotion or whatever we tell ourselves, right? My subconscious, like what you just said, is like, right, you're not good enough. So there you go. You just proved it again.
Absolutely.
You haven't changed your mind. Your counselor was very, very smart in helping to pivot and change your mindset, because that's what we have to do, right?
Right.
Well, I also want to acknowledge you, David, for being vulnerable. I know that for people, humans, possibly sometimes men or people in general, have a difficult time sharing their story and being vulnerable. And I think it's important to acknowledge and recognize that, because there are people listening and there's people out in the world that we want to know that they're not alone, and we want to help give tools and techniques to help them empower themselves and to come out of that and change that mindset of not feeling good enough. So I want to acknowledge you for being vulnerable and being open on the Penny Z Show and helping us with this topic. So
thank you. And this is a safe place, obviously. Well,
thank you. I appreciate that. I try to do that. So
thank you for making a safe place. Absolutely.
Sure. We're just having a conversation, you know, between friends. David, you did mention counseling. Is there anything else that you would like to share as part of your journey that helped you with your mindset to overcome your feelings and experiences to become, you know, we still always struggle in our day-to-day basis, but to be able to overcome this situation in your life or to manage it better.
Right. Well, as you mentioned in the bio, I'm an ordained pastor, been ordained for 31 and a half years. And certainly I have great sense of faith, you know, in God and in the scriptures. And certainly that has been a great help. I know when I was lying there on the floor of my friend's house in the fetal position, a very dear friend of mine shared with me a verse from scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And that was something that really, I mean, I must have said that verse 30 times a day for a long time. And many days I would throw up my hand and say, okay, I don't see anything happening here. I don't see any prosperity going on. And so what's going on? But to know that God had a plan for me, that God cares enough, loves me enough, have a plan for me, I was looking forward to that unfolding. Mm-hmm. Does that mean I'm totally over it? And I know this is not even an issue anymore. Of course not. I still struggle with, am I good enough? Am I enough? And it's probably still something I still struggle with. But I think I really like the way the word you use, and I never thought of it in this term before. So I really appreciate you sharing this word with me. That has kind of changed my own mindset about it. and that's managing. May not ever overcome not feeling good enough, but I can certainly manage the destructive, negative feelings or thought processes along the way that would help me stay, maybe keep a more even keel. And I think that's probably what's happened over the years. My wife, Julie, we were talking about the Penny Z Show before I came on, and she said, just tell them you're good enough because I said so. I said, okay, all right, we'll just do that. So find a spouse who just says you're good enough, and then you'll be good to go. So.
Love it. Please tell her thank you. I had the chance to meet Julie, and so you are a very lucky man, and she is a very lucky woman. So, yeah.
But I think, do you surrounding yourself with people who do believe in you, mm-hmm. who are able to be direct with you to say, oh, wait a minute, where's this talk coming from? Where's this thought coming from? No, you are A, B, C, D. And sometimes we do have to, sometimes our trusting people who believe in us is what takes us maybe to that next level. Because mm-hmm. People do believe in you. They do love you. They do care for you. And it's not haphazard. Oh, I guess we're going to care for you because you're breathing. No, they care for you because really who you are, what you bring to the table. And it may probably even deeper than that. But
yeah. You make a very good point. Having people around you that are supportive, that are positive, that are helping you move forward in your success, and you know, providing that affirmation that we need sometimes. I mean, we're the ones who have to change, and we're the ones who have to work on our mindset. But sometimes it's nice to have that support. Well, not sometimes. It's nice to have that support in our life of people that are pushing us up and moving us forward and not tearing us down. You know, as an option.
Absolutely. And I think there's another, he has since passed away, but a gentleman named Brennan Manning, who's written a lot of great books. And he has a great quote that I have it pinned on my computer at work, and I've memorized it. And he says, you know, that Jesus comes to you and he looks you in the face. He puts his hands right there on your face. And he says to you, I dare you to trust that I love you just as you are and not as you should be. Because you're never going to be as you should be. And I think that's one of the great quotes. I mean, it's brought me great comfort and peace and grace over the years that how many of us should ourselves to death? You know, we should. Well, why don't we just take that word out of the English language and see how we do after that? So.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a couple of things that come to mind. Yeah, I went through a weekend kind of a seminar that helped me with a lot of my mindset. And what I realized is things aren't good or bad. They're just there. It's how we choose to perceive it. You know, are we going to choose it as good and bad? And so I look at that. I'm not always perfect, but when things come up, especially emotional things come up, you know, I have to look at it and it's like, well, they didn't intend that. I am interpreting it from what they said or what they did to me in this way. It may not be good or bad. Now, how, like what you're saying, how do I manage my feelings around this circumstance? And I created what I call the stop, drop, and roll, which I know is used to the firefighters, you know, training program in school, at least back in the day when I was a youngster. I guess I've adapted that, but I call it the stop, drop, and roll program. So when I'm in the moment and I'm having feelings of not good enough or not worthy or things around feeling fear, I try to stop right then and there. It doesn't always happen in our crazy busy worlds, but I do try to stop. And if I can try to stop, I want to pay attention and process what it is that's going on. What's the experience? Who's involved? What are the feelings? And I try to stop and try to journal because I think it's so important, especially in the moment. If you can journal exactly what you're feeling, not good or bad, it just is, but journal who was involved, what was the experience, you know, what was I feeling? Then I drop to my knees, you know, so if you are faith, that's kind of my visual. You don't have to drop, but you drop to your knees and you drop to your knees to meditate, to pray, to understand what's happening. Right. And then I journal again, because what I want to do is I want to take that experience and I want to figure out when in my life, when in my past life, I've experienced the same emotional experience. Oh.
Right.
And when you go back, a lot of times you can go back to your childhood or your earlier years to figure out what was the first time I felt that way and why. Yep. And so I stop, I drop, I process, I journal again, and then I want to roll or pivot away, stop, drop, and roll away from my old mindset and my old way of allowing that situation to affect me, to change. Right. I'm going to, like you said, respond or manage things differently. And I think that's so important because sometimes we can just get over it, right? Flip the switch and we're done and we're not having to worry about that situation or that person or, you know, that feeling. But most of the time it's learning how to manage things differently.
Great point. I love that. I'm going to write that down and use that for myself. Stop, drop, and roll. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. So you obviously are a man of faith and of good faith and help yourself, your family, and others. So that was one of the ways you bring yourself out. There was counseling and therapy. We hear that a lot on the Penny Z Show. And I want people to know that that is not shameful. It is so important to be able to help us move forward in our life. Was there anything else that you would like to share that has helped? You had mentioned putting people around you, good people around you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners around empowering yourself?
That's a great question. And I think it's, I know I've had this dialogue with God, and maybe there's a new challenge on the horizon, or there's a new opportunity, or maybe there's something brand new that you're going to be trying to do, or a venture that you're going out on. And this conversation has happened many times. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm not good enough and blah, blah, blah. And I hear God saying, you're right. You're not good enough, but get over that. Let's just go forward. Let's just get on with it, you know, and I'm with you. I'm right beside you. I'll take good care of you. Let's just go. I've chosen you for this and for a reason, and let's go. And for me personally, that has been helpful. I'm just saying, okay, you're right. I'm not good enough. Let's just go forward anyway. That shouldn't stop me from trying something or doing something. Okay, let's just move forward.
Yeah, I had an experience several years ago again where I was part of a mastermind group, and part of the mastermind group was helping me to push past through fear.
Right.
And one of the exercises is I had to pick something I was fearful of, and I had to overcome it between retreats. Every about 3 or 4 months, we got together as a group. And so people were making recommendations and suggestions to me on things that, you know, I could do. And one of the recommendations came in is I should skydive. I'm afraid of heights, right? One of the recommendations was I should, you know, jump out of a perfectly good plane and skydive. And, you know, there was other suggestions that came at me. And so I said, well, let me think about it. And let me come back to you the next day and I'll tell you what I'm going to, you know, push past fear. And so gave myself a little bit of time to process. And it was interesting because I sat with myself, and a lot of times your gut will tell you, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. It'll give you that warning sign, right?
Sure.
And so I was sitting there, and as I was sitting there processing, okay, jumping out of a plane, I actually had no fear whatsoever. I felt like nothing. I didn't feel excited or nervous. I wasn't fearful, you know, which is really interesting because jumping out of a plane could really hurt you, right? Like potentially take you out of this world or damage you pretty good. And I'm sitting there going, huh, okay, that's interesting. And then one of my past experiences was I sang karaoke in public and just bombed. I mean, it was so, for me, feeling humiliated and embarrassed that I literally dropped the mic, ran out of the bar, and was bawling my eyes out in the parking lot saying, I'm never going to do this again, never going to do this again. That was about 6 years ago. Well, during that time period, I never even sang in private. I was so, I guess, affected. You know, it had devastated me so much that I really didn't sing in the car. I loved to sing, right? And so when I was going through this process a couple years ago, that actually is what popped into my mind. I need to sing one time in public a karaoke song. And I will tell you, even sitting here today, I just cringe. But you know what? I did it. I prepared myself. I took lessons. I went through, I sang in public. And after going through that whole experience, I thought to myself, now what's going to hurt me more? Jumping out of a plane or singing in public? And it was interesting to share that experience with the group because it was singing in public. And why was that? Because I was more worried about what people were going to think about me.
Right.
And what they were, if it was going to be good or not, or good enough, or if I was going to be worthy in front of folks. And that emotional fear affected me more than the physicalness of jumping out of a plane. And that just reminded me when you were talking about your story, that just reminded me. So I hope you don't mind me taking a little bit of your time and sharing that with you and our listeners. So
Great, great story. Way to go. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I still have some fear, but I know it won't kill me now, so I can sing in public. So, you know, David, we're getting close to ending the Penny Z Show. There's a couple things I'd like to ask my guests in closing, and you have been very humble. I would love for you to share about your business. If you would like to, he is a motivational speaker, a trainer, an author, a fundraiser. He is available to go into corporations and organizations and share his talk around laughter and fear. And so would you mind just sharing a little bit about that with our listeners right now? Because we haven't talked, we haven't spoken about it yet.
I'll be glad to. Well, one of my great mantras of life, that I say all the time, I have a bracelet that has it on there as well, and that's laugh often and fear not. And I was told a long time ago that fear not is mentioned 365 times in the Bible, 366 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year, even leap year. I did find out later that's not necessarily true, but it sounds nice anyway. But you know, if God says fear not, pretty much every time an angel approaches a human being, they say first thing they say is fear not. And if God's telling us to fear not, well then okay, let's do that. And I love to laugh, and part of this business model has gone around the idea of laughing often leads to fearless living. And that's something I really strive for and want to see if other people can embrace that as well. Laughter allows our bodies to do amazing things with relax, build up our immune system, allow it diffuses stress, releases all sorts of wonderful chemicals in our brain that make us feel good, have higher motivation, better retention, make us better people. And so laughter, obviously God-given laughter allows us to do a lot of things that didn't know it could do. And so what would happen if we laughed more and lived more fearless lives? What would happen then? And so those are some of the things I like to talk about. I like to blog about seeing God at work every day. You mentioned the book there, and it came out of a blogging experience of looking around and seeing the presence of God every day wherever I was, and then writing about it. And then the fundraising, I help churches with capital stewardship campaigns, and so churches needing to build a new building or new worship center or educational wing, I can come in and help you raise a few $1 million to do that. And one of my greatest joys is to help churches do and help people do things that they can't think they could do on their own. And so I'm also doing some life coaching as well, and I'm very excited about that, just helping people get to where they want to go. And that gives me great joy, come alongside somebody and help them achieve something maybe they thought they weren't good enough to achieve to begin with. So
absolutely. Well, I can see it in your face. You light up when you talk about it. And David, I'd like all of my guests to share with our listeners how they can reach you and how they can get your book. So if you would do me the pleasure of sharing that information with our listeners right now, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
That's great. Yes, I am. You can find me at www.daviddendy.com. That's DAVIDDENDY, daviddendy.com. And all my books are on there, and contact information if you want to talk about life coaching or consulting, or just want to reach out and just talk about anything. I would be more than honored to strike up a conversation and get to meet you in whatever way, shape, or form we can do that. And so, and also tell you, you are enough. You are already enough. So I'd like to put that stamp on you as well.
Well, thank you so much. And as always, we will have David's information on our website. That is www.thepennyzshow.com. You can hear us, reach us, follow us, like us, share us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. We have all of our information on the social media platforms as well as on our website. And again, we will have David's information on there as well, so you can reach out and he can help you in many different areas of your life, including fundraising for the churches, speaking, and as he mentioned, laughing often. So at this point in time, we'd like to say thank you for David for being on the show.
And thank you, Penny Z, for having me. What a joy and a pleasure to be with you here today. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Everyone, this is Penny Zelenkoff, Penny Z, as we know myself as, on the Penny Z Show. And we just want to wish you a wonderful day. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to hear more, including specific ways to empower yourself, go to thepennyzshow.com.